1 Kings chapter number 19. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1. We're going to read all the way down to verse number 8. Verse number 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose, and he went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him, and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose, and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Amen. You can be seated again tonight. Praise the Lord. Simply want to preach to us tonight. Simple thought. Just hopefully an encouraging message here tonight. Strengthened for the journey. Amen. Now we preached just a few sermons ago about that upward journey. Amen. That God's journey for our life is always upward. We're always going upward. It's a call. It's an upward call. It's a journey. Our life is a journey with pilgrims, strangers passing through here. And from this story tonight, I want to bring some analogy to the reality of what God wants to do for His children, what God wants to do for His people, what the enemy does against God's children, but what God then does to counteract what the enemy always tries to do. Of course, we know and we understand that the enemy, he comes to steal, comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. How does the enemy try to destroy the child of God? Fear. Fear. Because fear is not faith. And the enemy comes to try to destroy the faith of the child of God. He comes to try to steal it. Most of the time that doesn't work because we're clinging to it. But if he comes to try to bring fear, to undermine it, a lot of times that's where we are very vulnerable, that fear factor. Notice, now how many remember this story about Elijah and the story about how that fire fell from God? How he called the prophets of Baal and challenged them, the God that answers by fire is God. So we've just had this happen previous to 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah has performed well. Elijah's faith was strong. Elijah's obedience was at the top. Hallelujah. And he was just following God, doing what God asked him to do. And he challenged all the false prophets. And there he slew them all. Didn't leave one. Job well done. Whether you realize it or not, after we've done something great for God, the enemy doesn't like it. After you've prayed through and surrendered to God fresh and anew, the enemy doesn't like it. And the enemy will always throw a counter attack. He'll always try to come and make us feel inadequate. Make us feel like we can't do it. Make us feel like we're a failure. Of course, those are all lies, because I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. See, that's the Word of God. But the enemy doesn't like to use God's Word, does he? Unless he wants to twist it or turn it around to where it makes me feel bad and feel discouraged. God's Word should always lift me up, even when it's conviction. It should always lift me up to that higher plane, that higher ground. And so we see here that Elijah has performed well. He's been a yielded vessel to God. God has answered by fire. The prophets have been slain. But now, a messenger from Jezebel, that evil queen. Just a messenger. It wasn't a false prophet, because they were all dead. A messenger. It's kind of like the little maid that asked Peter, "Aren't you one of his disciples?" A messenger, just a simple messenger. She sent to Elijah. And now catch this. So let the gods, that's a little g if you didn't notice in the Bible, it's a little g. So let the gods, well, there is no such thing. He just showed the power of an almighty God over all the gods of that land. But here her statement is, let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. You would have thought Elijah would have laughed. That's fine. I just killed all your prophets, and you tell me your gods are going to do something. But he didn't, did he? No, it struck him with fear. Wow. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. In other words, fear began to grip his heart. Fear began to grip his mind. And he fled for his life, the Bible tells us. And he moved into Beersheba, the land that belongeth to Judah. And then he left everybody behind, his servants behind. And he went on a day's journey into the wilderness. And he came and sat down under a juniper tree. Moral of the story, don't sit under juniper trees. Everybody you find in the Bible that sat under one really had a problem with their faith in God and their allegiance to God. So don't sit under a juniper tree. What is a juniper tree? Oh, well, let me explain that just a little bit. Oh, poor, pitiful me. The juniper tree is a self-pity party. Oh, pitiful me. Oh, are you getting the picture here? Everybody that sat under a juniper tree in the Bible that I can think of had a pity party underneath that tree. And they just begin to cry out, oh, and Elijah was no different. And there he sits. He says, take my life away. I'm ready to go to heaven. Woo. Just take my life. I am no better than the fathers before me. I mean, do you realize that none of that was true? That was all fictitious. I mean, he was a whole lot better than the fathers before him. He had just stood up for God. He had just slew the prophets of Baal. He had just done a mighty miracle for God. But now he says, I'm no better than my father. So are you getting the picture of what fear brings into the minds of men? And women, when we say men, just human beings. Fear brings into this the mind where truth just, it's gone. We don't even face the facts in fear. Fear dominates our mind, and thus we think there is no hope. But there's always hope in God. There's always hope for the child of God. There's always hope, because the promises of God are forever sure and amen. Hallelujah. And God always takes care of you and I, even when we're under the juniper tree. Hallelujah. Even when we're in that pity party position and we allow fear to dominate our minds, who comes on the scene here in this story? Verse number 5, as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then the angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Wow. And he looked, that means he woke up, and behold, There was a cake, bacon on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. Don't you think there would have been a little bit different reaction being touched by an angel? And a fire being built, and food on that fire. You know, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. We all know that. We understand that. And, you know, and so here he's been touched by an angel. Food's been provided. Water's been provided. And it's still like he's numb. It's like he's dreaming. It's like he can't believe it's real. Because he was sleeping, you know. Peter was the same way when he was in prison and the angel touched him and told him to wake up. He thought he was having a dream or a vision. That's because mankind sometimes can't handle the supernatural power of God when he's moving. We sometimes don't believe it. Even when we see it, we don't believe it. I mean, that because of our humanity. And so here we find that then Elijah, God comes, brings provision. God comes, brings help. An angel wakes him up. He takes of the food. He drinks of the water. And he went back to sleep. Now, maybe he was really wore out. I mean, he had just done great things for God. And he just fled for his life. And how many realize if you're running for your life, you run way faster than you would if, you know, it was everything was okay. And sometimes we get wore out with the enemy. We get wore out with his lies. We get wore out with his temptations. We get wore out and we are wearisome in well-doing. This is reality, church. This is reality. These stories are real. Hallelujah. And it happened just like this because Elijah was a man of like passions as you and I. Elijah fought fear. Elijah fought the attack of the enemy. Elijah actually fought literal enemies like Jezebel. And so he fought the spiritual battle here. And so he goes back. He lays back down. And the angel of the Lord comes a second time, touches him a second time. This time, tells him again, arise, eat. And he tells him another thing, because the journey is too great for thee. There's more to these words than meet the ears. That was a statement of you are about to be used by God again. You're not done with your journey. God's not going to take you alive. God didn't hear your plea, and God is bringing you out from underneath the juniper tree. Hallelujah. And God has supplied what you're going to need for the journey. And what God has done is to strengthen you. Of course, for Elijah, we're thinking physical strength, because it's bread and water, food and water. But actually, it gave him the spiritual strength that he needed to go 40 days and 40 nights. Wow. Praise God. See, when God supplies all your needs according to his riches, according to his grace, according to his power, according to how he can supply things, brothers and sisters, we can go way farther than what we think we can. Hallelujah. And it's a matter of Elijah's faith was being restored. Elijah was becoming wise to the tactics of the enemy. Elijah was arising now again at the command of God and ready to do the will of God. He had overcome in the wilderness, if you will, by the grace of an almighty God coming on the scene and giving handfuls on purpose. I mean, you know, just the story of Ruth and Boaz and how Boaz told his reapers to leave handfuls on purpose. God is always on the scene. God always knows about the situation. And God is always going to be there to lift me up when I think I have no hope. Once again, there's always hope in an almighty God. And he went forth from what God gave him, how God renewed him. You see, not only was there physical renewal here, there was mental renewal here. There was faith reestablished. The first time that God gave him food to eat, it didn't connect. The second time, he realized God was on the scene. He realized that God was still with him. And he realized God wasn't done with him. Hallelujah. And he realized that he was going to rise and move forward with God. Woo, praise God. So if you're sitting here tonight underneath the juniper tree, thinking that God's done with you and there's no hope for yourself and you'll never make it, you'll never overcome, well, I'm here to let you know tonight that's not true. That's not God's word. That's your enemy. That's your enemy. That's the fiery darts of the enemy. And what you've got to do is roll over, step up, and raise that shield of faith. Ooh, hallelujah, because God is not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He is just refreshing you, reviving you, and getting you ready for what's going to come next. Praise God. It is God's desire. Colossians, I'm not going to hold you long tonight. Amen. But there is strength for your journey from God, and it is God's promise. It was the Apostle Paul's prayer, but the reason he prayed it is because he knew it was God's promise. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be, and now listen to this, that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. See, that's God's desire. Amen. Why? Well, when you become filled with his knowledge of what his will is for your life and the wisdom that he brings and the spiritual understanding that he brings, because he's the only one that can bring spiritual understanding. Hallelujah. And so that's what Paul began to pray for, because he knew that that was God's will for the believers. Verse number 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So now, the first one was the knowledge of his will. It's God's will that no man should perish. God doesn't want you to perish. See, he wants you to be the overcomer. He wants you to be the victorious one. God is not willing that any should perish. That's his will. Now, the increased in the knowledge of God, your relationship with God, your reality of God, the power of God, the love of God, the grace of God, all the things of an almighty God, that you might increase in that. Hallelujah. And as these things begin to transpire, you will be walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And you will be fruitful in every good work. Amen. Fruitful means you keep doing it. You're not just you do good one time or two times. You just keep doing it. You're fruitful in good works. You're fruitful in doing what's right. In other words, it just keeps growing. It just keeps growing. That's what it means to be fruitful. That, you know, some here in this natural world, our plants produce fruit usually one time a year. But in God's kingdom, how many remember what it says about the river of life and the tree of life there with 12 manner of fruit that gives its fruit every month, I think, maybe? Just all the time. Fruitful. Fruitful. See, that's God's kingdom. Hallelujah. And that's what God wants to do in us. Hallelujah. That you and I are fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. And here's verse 11. And sometimes we have a hard time getting hold of this. Strengthened with all might. What does that mean to you? Is there anything lacking in all might? Yet that's God's desire for your life. That's God's desire for my life. That I would be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. What's Paul talking about? He's talking about the power of the Holy Ghost strengthening me with all might. Wow. So that's God's will for my life. That's God's will for your life. That's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants you and I to swing wide the door of our heart, the door of our soul, the door of our mind. He wants us to totally everything about us to him that he might fill us with his might, his strength, his power. Wow. And now see what it's going to produce. Unto all patience, woe, and long suffering with joyfulness. Woo. That's the power of an almighty God working in a believer. Amen. Oh, that patience, that word for patience, hallelujah, I've preached on this before, and I love this word, this Greek word, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but I'll try to give it to you in Greek here. Hupomone. Did you like that? Did you understand that? Let me just give it to you. Cheerful or hopeful endurance. See, it's one thing to say, well, I'm just going to make this happen. I'm just going to keep going forward. There's no cheer in that, is there? Or it could be, I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm so glad, and I know God's heard my prayer. I'm pressing forward. Devil, you ain't got anything on me. And I'm just going to be patient until God brings that power, brings that answer, and I'm going to enjoy my salvation. Hallelujah. That's cheerful endurance. Hallelujah. Has nothing to do with a juniper tree, does it? Glory to God. Has nothing to do with self-pity, does it? No, it's a made-up mind that I'm walking with God. I'm walking for God, and I'm going to be a vessel that God can fill. Woo, hallelujah. So that's the strength God wants to bring me for my journey. No matter where my journey may lead, long suffering just means exactly what it says. Suffering long. Hallelujah. That means you just keep putting up with it. Just keep putting up with it. Just keep putting up with it. Joyfully. Woo! And you realize, and you got to understand, most of the time that long suffering has to do with either a trial or an individual. It has to do with me being not what I can be through Christ, because if it's just left up to me, I wouldn't be long suffering and I sure wouldn't be happy about it. Praise God. You know, it doesn't take too long for when things don't go our way that we are just kind of cranky. Hello. That's not strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. That's just me trying to do it in myself, and I fall short. And I will fall short every time because I do not have that power within me unless it's his. I've got to have the power of the Holy Ghost willfully given, that surrender to him. I've got to be willful in my obedience, and my obedience brings that power, that joy, that obedience brings that cheerful endurance and that joyful long suffering, because it's not something that I have of myself and natural man. It's something I have from an almighty God that he has provided for me through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And because my name's been written in the Lamb's book of life, I am now that candidate for the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and walking with God, and having that power dwelling within me, and I must maintain that surrender and that willful allegiance to that power. But what we do so many times is we think we can handle it. We think we're strong enough now. We've lived for the Lord long enough now. And we can handle this. Got news for you. You cannot handle one thing on the face of this earth without that might, without that power, without that love, without that grace, without a willful allegiance to the King. You cannot overcome anything. Oh, woo. You may suffice for a little while and make it look like to everybody else you are, but the devil knows you're not. And then that's why he keeps firing them fiery darts right at that place where there is no faith, because faith is allegiance to the God Almighty. Faith is a surrender to God Almighty. Faith is what brings that might into my heart, into my mind, into my life. It's what brings that power, that glorious power of an Almighty God alive within me. What was going on around here Sunday morning? God was rebuilding faith in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, because whether we want to admit it or not, we had grown slack in it. And we were just going through the motions. Going through the motions. And not allowing that power full access into our lives. Oh man. There's nothing more frustrating than a loose connection somewhere in electricity. I've got a light actually at the house. I think it's really in them light bulbs. They don't make light bulbs like they used to. You can turn it on. Then it's going. There's nothing more frustrating than a light that just won't stay shining. The little near. Doesn't help anybody see anything. It just makes everybody mad. Yeah. How's your light shining tonight? Or is it whoop, shining bright? Finding that strength for the journey. You're on a journey. Right now, your journey has led you to the house of God. Your journey has led you into the Word of God, into the songs of Zion. But your journey, you're going to depart from this place, and you're going to go back out into the war zone. You're going to go back out to where the juniper trees are planted. You're going to go back out to where the enemy is not scared of you. But he's scared to death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not full of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not scared of you at all. And he will come and he will torment you. In your mind, in your body, anything he can do until we get full of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, how do you get full of Jesus Christ? Well, you get full of the Holy Ghost. Well, how do you get full of the Holy Ghost? You get full of surrender. How do you get full of surrender? If it's a willful decision, it's a willful act. You choose to do it. You choose to do it. Could I have a piano player again this evening? Strengthened for the journey. I am so thankful that God's promises will stand forever. Forever. I don't have to fear when I can pray. Amen. I don't have to falter when I can find strength. Hallelujah. I've got to make sure my mind is thinking clearly and that I will always go to God, whether I need help or I don't need help. I just go to God so I can maintain my relationship with Him. You're going to find that building that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest thing you could ever do in your entire life, to where you know He is right there. You don't have to doubt it. You know He's right there. Why? Because you just talked to Him this morning. Just talked to Him this afternoon. Just talked to Him this evening. I know He is right here. He is with me. Hallelujah. And I am willfully wanting to follow Him and be all He wants me to be. as he gives that knowledge of his will, that knowledge of himself, that power from above. There is no good thing that God will withhold from his children. Stand with me if you would. Thank you, Jesus. Could we lift our hands in thanksgiving to our God? Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the truths of your word, the promises of your word. We thank you for the history, Lord God, the examples of your word, Lord God, what you've done for the men of old. God, you're forever the same. You will do it for us. Hallelujah. Your believers, your followers, oh God. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would touch your children, Lord. And you would strengthen us in our inner man, Lord, with that might, with that glorious power, Lord God, with a renewed faith, Lord, a renewed confidence, oh God. Lord, you're not done with us, Lord. You've just begun, Lord. You've just begun. We've just started living, oh God. And Lord, we are in pursuit of your will and what you want done in our lives, God. Just continue the work, God, you have begun. Hallelujah. Let's come around these altars. Let's close out tonight with a time of prayer, a time of praise. Just a time of lifting our voice to the goodness of our God. For truly God is good. And he is worthy of our praise. And he is worthy of our thanksgiving. And his word is forever settled in heaven.